Yeah, it's awful news, really. Ali Brownlee's he's very much part of the club, and he's commentated on them for the best of three decades and probably more. And yeah, it was announced in November last year that he was suffering with bowel cancer, and it was announced this morning that he passed away overnight. So there's kind of a real somber mood around the town, really, because he was. He was. It's not overdoing it at all to say he was Mr. Middlesbrough. He was very much the voice of the town. He was, he was instantly recognisable with any sporting events and with any major event in terms of Middlesbrough's history in the last 20, 30 years. He lived for the borough. He lived for the area. So it's really awful news. And I don't know. It's sometimes things are football pales in comparison, doesn't it? So it's sad news, and I'm sure the Middlesbrough fans will be in fine voice for him tonight.
Yeah, without doubt. And you know what? The results are material when it comes to things like that. And I'm sure every single fan in that stadium tonight is going to be remembering a great man who was very much part of the club. And I know there's going to be a lot of respect from both sets of fans without a shadow of a doubt. I've heard that the black armbands are going to be worn by at least the Middlesbrough players. I expect the Leeds ones are going to be following suit as well with that. So, it's very sad. And I'm pretty sure, like I said, whatever the result is tonight, that performance is going to be for Ali without a shadow of a doubt. Let's get on to the game, shall we, anyway? Because obviously coming off the back of a 1-1 draw with the MK Dons, and you went one behind in that game. Jordan Rhodes pulling you back into it. What's the sort of feeling ahead of tonight's game against Leeds?
I mean, it was they were very fortunate to get a point at MK Dons. Borough dominated the game, the possession stats. I wouldn't like to see I don't know what they were off the top of my head, but it was staggering. Borough, from start to finish, kind of dominated all the ball, but it's what you do with it, isn't it? And it was kind of that final ball which let them down, really, that cutting edge, which has done for the last few weeks, to be honest. Borough have been below par since they went on that staggering run where didn't concede a goal for 9 games, efficiently kind of dismantling, not hammering sides, but efficiently getting the job done week in, week out, really. And it looked like, at that stage, it looked to be a case of when Borough were going to go up and not if. But they have had a stutter, and I think everyone does have it in the Championship at some stage, don't they? And Blackburn, the home game against Blackburn was disappointing, and so was MK Dons on Tuesday. And like you say, it was Rhodes coming off the bench who rescued a point, really, and hopefully, you look at that, the equaliser there, and they got a late equaliser against Blackburn, and you look at that as 2 points gained and not 4 points dropped come the end of the season.
Yeah, when you were talking about the stats there, it was actually 65% possession for Middlesbrough to 35% from the MK Dons, 12 shots on target compared to their 6. So, 12 shots rather, and 5 of those were on target, 10 corners as well. So you were absolutely dominating that game.
Yeah, but if it's one of those that, although that does kind of back up what I was saying, the fact of the matter is MK Dons nicked a goal, and it was a goal from absolutely nothing, but they nicked a goal and then they shut up shop, and as a lot of teams have done. And there is this worry that can Borough come from behind when they fall behind? I think they've done it once this year, which was against Wolves in the league. They did it against Burton Albion in the cup, but that was after extra time. Since the start of last season, they've only won twice when they fell behind. Now, I know the other way of looking at that is, they've done very well and they haven't actually fallen behind in many games. But it still is a concern as to, I think what's often questioned is whether Borough have a plan B. They have this efficient plan that I talk a rank of sticks to, but if that isn't going to plan, if teams are shutting up shop and inviting them on, do they have that plan B, or are they too predictable to play against? It'll be interesting to see. Now Rhodes is in. I mean, Rhodes hasn't made a start yet, but he's come off the bench twice and made a difference twice. Against Blackburn, he didn't score, but there was a boost around the place when he came on. And against MK Dons, obviously, he scored the equaliser. So you'd expect him to start tonight. I've seen Steve Evans saying that he's 100% guaranteed to start, and his assistant was saying he'd be gobsmacked if he didn't. But it's whether, will he play him on his own, which he's very, very likely to, or there's some saying, is it worth going two up front and playing Nugent alongside him?
I was going to say, when you look at Jordan Rhodes, I mean, the record he has against Leeds United is quite a daunting one for the Leeds fans as well, because it seems every time he plays against Leeds, he scores. And like you said, against MK Dons, it looked like there wasn't a plan B. Jordan Rhodes comes off the bench, he gets the goal, and I suppose that's what the money's paid for. He's already got a goal, and he'll be looking to start tonight and continue a bit of a run.
That's it. I mean, when we signed him, I'd spoken to those who watched him at Huddersfield and those who watched him at Blackburn, and they'd said that he's very much a player who, for 70, 80, 85 minutes, he could do absolutely nothing. And suddenly he'll just pop up from nowhere with a goal.
But he scores when he wants, that's what they say.
Yeah, well, exactly. But that's, you know, I mean, that's what you pay the money for, isn't it? His job is to score goals. And I think it's 5 in his last 4 against Leeds. And he scored 1 in 37 minutes so far for Borough. But that, I mean, that's what cost Borough last year. If they'd have had a Jordan Rhodes last year, they'd have gone up. They'd have probably won the league. But they were short of I know Bamford scored 19. But if you take those goals out, then I think the next, off the top of my head, was maybe 9 or 10. The goals weren't shared around. They were short of a real prolific goal scorer. And I think the hope is this year that obviously Rhodes is going to be that man to get Borough over the line, really.
Well, it looks like he could make his first start tonight. And Aitor Karanka has been saying there's no doubt that Jordan Rhodes is definitely ready for his first start. Do you think he needed to be sort of introduced slowly, or, you know, could they have just dumped him straight into the side? I think he's the kind of player who, you know, does have a great goal-scoring record in the Championship, and I'm sure he would have been chomping at the bit to get into that game.
Yeah, I think it's all that's been talked about since he signed, really, because Karanka does have this, his way of doing things is to introduce players slowly. He signed Richie Delatte on deadline day, the fullback from Leicester, and he's played both games since from the start. But that was forced, really, due to George Friend's injury. He signed Gaston Ramirez on loan. He sat out the first game on the bench, but went in against MK Dons. So maybe, and I think the other argument was when Rhodes signed, we were top of the league, Borough were top of the league. So I think there's this nod of recognition, I think, to those who've got Borough there. And also, you know, the fact that it is £9 million, but maybe just a reminder to Rhodes that, you know, he's coming into a different team to Blackburn, and although he's worth that money, I guess he's no more important than anyone else, and he's got to work his way in. But to be fair to him, he's done that. And Rhodes has spoken a couple of times since he signed. And to say he's down to earth would be an understatement. And he said, "Yeah, I completely understand. I'm not going to demand any starting berth or whatnot." I mean, he even said on Friday that he doesn't expect to start tonight. But whether that's just being polite, you know, deep down after coming on and getting an equaliser, he must think that he's ready to be in from the off tonight.
When you look at a transfer window, people say that January is the time of the month where, well, someone can win the league or help gain promotion. You look at that window that Middlesbrough had, strengthening really in all areas. And do you think it is just a case that it might just take a couple of games for some of these players to gel and really then show their worth?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Borough really clicked in December time. Like I say, that was when they went on this incredible run where they weren't conceding goals, never mind dropping points. I think it's really a case of going into January, you think he might hone the squad here and there and bring in a player or two. So I was surprised that he brought in 5 players. I mean, a couple went. Fabrini went. Kike has left, but he can't play for Ardal until next season, which is a bit of an odd one, but he's left. And he's kind of replaced those and then brought in 2 or 3 more. But Karanka said in his first interview after the transfer window that if Borough don't go up now, he's done something wrong, basically. You know, this squad should be winning promotion. And I think that's the feeling now that Borough did have to serve the time. They had a go when they got relegated. They had to serve the time, and Tony Mowbray kind of had to do it on a shoestring budget when he was in charge. But Gibson, being Gibson, I think realises, Steve Gibson, the chairman, realises that this is the chance. And he's had a right good go now. And like Karanka says, this, you know, with this squad, and looking at the Championship, it's there for the taking now. Games in hand, they're already in the top 2. I think there is this feeling that this is Borough's year, or it certainly needs to be.
Are we going to see Danny Ayala back tonight?
I don't think so. I think, we'd love him to be back from a Borough point of view, but Karanka had said on Thursday that he wasn't even back in training. Now, he has pulled a curveball or two before where he's kind of rubbished suggestions that a player could be back, and then he's come in. But he did say he wouldn't rush him, and I think he'll look at, there's an 8-day gap between this game and the Cardiff game next Tuesday. In Thomas Kalas, you've got Ayala's the best centre-half in the league, personally speaking, but in Thomas Kalas, you've got an able deputy, so I think he won't rush him. I think it's more likely to be Kalas and Gibson at centre-half.
Interesting. So looking at some of the facts here, Leeds have actually won their past 3 league meetings against Middlesbrough at Elland Road. It's their longest winning run since 93, actually, when they beat you 6 times in a row. So Leeds have got a bit of form against not just Middlesbrough, but also some of the top teams in the league. Obviously, they've taken Hull down here as well. Is there a possibility tonight we could see a bit of a slip-up from Middlesbrough? What's your prediction?
I think you look at Leeds. Leeds can Borough last year, they beat Borough last year. The Borough have gone there before as favourites and left empty-handed. I think with a manager like Steve Evans in charge, he'll get them up for it, won't he? He'll get them fighting. So I think you can certainly beat anyone on the day. But there is this element of, Borough are efficient. They don't lose many games. And there is a feel that they need to bounce back sooner rather than later, really, after four games. So I think they might edge it. I think possibly a 1-1 draw, but I think Borough might just edge it 2-1.